Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, renew our faith, restore our soul, give us the courage to face another day with all of our difficulties. Humbly guide us, that we may continue to seek your will. Bless us with the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and grant us a new vision of hope for your church, for your people. Amen. Today, we celebrate the Transfiguration. It is a very, very long word that sounds like a medical procedure, but it was a very, very special event in the lives of Peter, John, and James, and now even to us. Transfiguration, Webster Dictionary says that it is a change in form or appearance, an exalting, glorifying, or spiritual change. When it is capitalized, it is a Christian feast. It commemorates the transfiguration of Christ on a mountaintop in the presence of three disciples. A very unique experience. I think, first of all, it's important to look at what was happening before this event, and it helps us understand the apostles a little bit better. In the beginning of the same chapter in the book of Luke, Jesus called his 12 disciples together to send them out to heal the sick and preach to the people about the kingdom of God. Now in verse 7 through 9, Luke says that Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets from long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Well, apparently, Herod did not try very hard. He was just a lot of talk, because he never did make the effort to go listen to Jesus or meet him. The Bible tells us that he didn't see Jesus again until he was brought before him in trial. Herod was like many people in the world at that time, and reminds us also of today. People who hear about this Jesus, but never bother to learn about him or who he truly is. Now in verse 10, Luke describes the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000. We all know this event. And it was an amazing miracle on a grand scale. Jesus was starting to draw very large crowds who came to listen to his teachings. Then in verse 18, Jesus asks his disciples, who do the crowds say I am? And the apostles reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets from long ago has come back to life. So it was pretty clear what the talk on the streets was about Jesus, both from what Herod said and what the apostles also told Jesus. But then Jesus spoke directly to the disciples and said, what about you? Who do you say I am? Now Peter was the leader and the spokesman of the group, and he replies enthusiastically, the Christ of God. Now, I remember when I was young, I thought that Jesus' last name was Christ. But the Christ was another name for the Messiah. The Jewish people had been waiting centuries for the one who would deliver them, the Messiah, the Christ. And over the years of waiting for the Messiah, who had been prophesied in the Old Testament, the Jewish people had conflicting ideas of who and what the Messiah was going to be. Many Jews felt the Messiah, the Christ, was going to liberate them from the oppressive rule of the Romans. The apostles may have had some of these thoughts themselves. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Now Jesus told them not to tell anyone of what they had heard and saw. The apostles were not completely sure what it meant to be killed and raised to life on the third day. And they discussed it among themselves. This was Jesus' first prediction of his death. And Jesus knew there was much teaching to be done before he was to be revealed to the world. Of course, he was also aware that the apostles were not really clear on what this all meant. And this is why he told them to stay quiet. So then we come to the reading today in verse 28 through 36, Transfiguration. What does it mean to the people who were there? And what does it mean to us? Now for Peter, James, and John, it was Jesus shown to them as the way, the only one that they should follow. Jesus was left standing alone, and Moses and Elijah disappeared. Moses was a major figure to the Hebrew people of the Old Testament. In a way, he was a savior of sorts, because he led them out of Egyptian captivity and slavery. Moses had brought them the word of God, and he gave them God's law to live by. In the Old Testament reading today, we hear Moses spoke with God, and when he did, his face shone like the sun, so bright that he had to cover his face with a veil. Now that's a pretty tough act to follow. So Jesus took three of his closest apostles up the mountain top to pray. And while Jesus was praying on the mountain, Jesus' face shone brightly, and it lit up his clothes and his whole body and changed his appearance. Then Moses and Elijah appeared and stood with Jesus. Now Peter and James and John knew it was Moses and Elijah, because they started to speak with Jesus. Now for the three apostles, rightly so, Moses represented the law, the Ten Commandments, and Elijah represented great prophets of the Old Testament. Now Peter was so excited he could hardly contain himself. He wanted to build three tents and keep them all there. He wanted them all to stay in this glorious moment. Now if you have ever had a vision or a special moment God, you probably have felt the same way, and you don't want it to go away. But while Peter was speaking to Jesus, a cloud came over them and covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the cloud lifted, they looked at Jesus and they realized he stood alone. Then Peter knew that Jesus was all he needed. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The Messiah was here. The command, "Listen to him," is reflected from the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses says to the people, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." This was an amazing event. Peter, John, and James. Many of their doubts about Jesus must have melted away when they heard the voice in the cloud. I think it was important for Jesus to reveal himself to three of his apostles, and not just one, not just Peter, not just John, because not one of them ever denied this event. Peter shares it with the people in the epistle reading this morning. It is revealed to us in Holy Scripture by three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, on the other hand, was always writing about the divinity of Jesus. Just before Mark tells us about the transfiguration of Jesus in chapter 8, Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and then he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But then Jesus turned and looked at the disciples. He rebukes Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus also rebukes Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block before me." I think Jesus shows his humanity in saying that by admitting that Satan is a stumbling block to himself. Now, if this is true for Jesus, imagine how easy it will be for you and I to be drawn away from God with things by Satan. We know that Satan does not want us to shine in the love of Jesus Christ. So what does the transfiguration of Christ say to us today? Of course, it is an event that was witnessed by the three apostles, two of which died a torturous death rather than denounce the divinity of Jesus. It is a tremendous witness to Jesus Christ. If we are Christians and followers of the way, disciples of Jesus, then I think the question for us today might be, how is our transfiguration coming along? Now we are told that we are created in the image of God. We are adopted into his family, heirs to the kingdom, his children. So, are we trying to become more Christ-like as we travel on our journey? Are we growing spiritually? How often do we ask ourselves, "Oh, Jesus?" So as we go about our day, as different as it may be from the person that is sitting next to us, as a child of God, the living God, are we able to shine with the love of Jesus to those in need? That is the question. Dear Jesus, as our days continue and we walk the walk, I pray that we will be able to shine a little more every day with your light.